Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Rose, can you say Josh?
Yes.
Widdicombe?
Yes.
Can you say Rob? Can you say Beckett?
Beckett.
Good girl.
That was good, wasn't it?
I like that. Who was that?
That was, I'm doing this one now because we'll explain why in a minute. That was Rose Rigby repeating the intro she's heard a million times in the car. She's 16 months today and by the sounds of this, can say your name's better than mine, Brill. Thanks for the embarrassing snorts of laughter in the train silent coach, Pippa.
Bloody hell, she loves listening to it on transport. Whatever, the planes, trains and automobiles, isn't it?
Pippa cannot listen to this stationary.
Rob, yes. Where are we?
We are.
And what time is it?
Okay, this is like guerrilla podcasting, guys. So we have been up north. We've been in Barnard Castle, Hexham and North Allerton. Yeah. And we are now in North Allerton. Yeah. We've got a show at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
It's 7:52. Yeah. And we've just remembered we haven't recorded the Friday intro. So we're here now and we're doing it. And I'm ready to
book. We're literally going to run this until we get told to go on stage, basically, aren't we? That's how it's going to work.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So what have you been up to, Josh?
Well, I've been spending the last 3 days with you.
I did get a phone call from Lou about a fun parenting story.
Oh, yeah, go on.
When she went to pick up my youngest daughter, both teachers came out with her. I was like, oh, what's gone on here? They said that she's got one of her sister's shoes. She has to wear a white trainers for PE. And was like, oh, okay, ask the chef. Well, slightly bigger. I went, no, but two right ones.
What?
So Lou sent her to school.
In two right shoes?
Two right shoes. One bigger
Imagine
than the other.
Imagine if you'd done that, mate. Oh, my word. That is awful. What awful parenting.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
Well, no, I said, well, why didn't they ring home and get you to go up and swap? And she said, no, she just told the teachers, our daughter, that she liked it.
Oh.
So I like that. And Lou dropped some news on me. So Preggers, we're doing this Preggers. Wednesday.
Preggers?
So No. I've got... If Lou told me she was pregnant, I think I'd be sick of myself and leave the house. I'd come back, but I'd go away for a bit.
If Lou told you she was pregnant via text while you were in the north of England, would that be better or worse?
Oh, my God. I mean, I've enjoyed my time up here, but I'd say Barnard Castle on a Monday is not Vegas on a Saturday. And I think they'd accept that too.
Yeah, they would.
I mean, you know, don't
That's
get me
why
wrong.
They came to watch us.
Yeah.
They didn't have the option of Penn and Teller.
Or Adele every other month.
Adele every other month.
Yeah, so Lou dropped on me. She went, I was supposed to be getting my hair cut on Friday at 2:20.
You or Lou?
Me.
Yeah.
And she was like, can you help me with school pickup? I was like, I can, but surely it's fine.
Yeah.
We live 5 minute walk from the school.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can change, but I've got my hair cut. I don't really have to start changing that. I went, why do you need help? She went, I can't get all the kids home. I went, what?
What?
She went, well, there's a play date. I was like, so there's an extra kid. Is there... Has one of them got a kid? She went, no, they've both got a friend coming.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay, so there's four kids. She went, no, there's six kids. She went, what? She went, they've both got two friends coming over.
Oh.
So it's they've got...
See, that's basically a party, Rob.
That's a party. And Lou said she can't carry all the backpacks.
Get your bloody wheeler out.
That's what I said.
She'll need two wheelers.
Get the two wheelers. So, yeah, on Friday we've got six children.
Round for tea, but at least you'll look good. Yeah,
I look great. I've moved my haircut back an hour.
Have you? How long does it take to cut your quite short hair?
Oh, okay. Seems a little bit.
No, I'm just thinking.
Bit harsh.
When you've got short hair, is it not quick to cut?
Well, I have my beard done.
Oh, you have your beard
as
done.
Well. It probably would have been done like in about 40 minutes, but it. You're going to be sick then.
No, my posture's really bad.
Yeah, mine is a hunch.
Podcasting
as well.
In the sorry.
Lean back. But yeah, I probably wouldn't have got back in time anyway.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So yeah, that's my parenting story.
Just going to check if I've got any parenting stories. I'll just check the text I've got from Rose.
She made me face.
Surely you could have done this before we started recording. We've got Billy and Sam Fairs coming up.
I was too busy worrying about the actual show that we're doing.
I've just got in here rant about you, Les, which is not really parenting, is it? But I just wanted to get off my chest, but I'm not going to do that.
Okay, good. No, it's just Rose.
Do you want to say something that sounded a bit 1970s dad by accident?
Yeah.
I drop my daughters off at school, and when they go to a club after school, they're supposed to bring an extra snack that isn't part of snack time.
Yeah.
So they take snacks and their lunch, and then they have snacks earlier, lunch, and then if they stay till like 4-ish, there's an extra snack for art club.
Yeah.
But what happened? So basically, I was putting the extra snack in the back of the backpack, not in the snack tub. So my youngest daughter was like, I had no snack. And Lou was like, you did have a snack, but you ate it. But she didn't know that that was an extra snack.
Right,
she assumed it was part of snack time snack. Yeah. So anyway, I did it and put it in a bag, and she liked that then because she had a snack for art, which before she hadn't had a snack for art. Anyway, Lou packed the bag last Monday, dropped them off, and then as I dropped them off, my youngest went right in front of the head teacher, some other mums and some other teachers around the school gates, and I was doing a driving drop off. So she's out the car. So I'm in the car, and I'm leaning out the car like Harry Redknapp on Transfer Deadline Day. And she goes, Daddy, I haven't got a snack for art club. I went, it should be in the back of your bag. And she went, there wasn't one last week. And then I went, well, I'll be having words at home. But I was trying to be like all jokey, awful. Yeah. And then the teachers, the female teachers, looked at me with disgust. Quite rightly as well. But yeah, I was like, I'll have words at home.
Is this you attempting to clear your name now?
Yeah, that was, I didn't mean it like that. I was like, we'll make sure at home that doesn't happen again,
babe.
Do you
know if the teachers listen?
Some do, some don't. I'm not sure. There's rumours of a teaching assistant coming to the Wembley show.
Oh, do you want some
news? She'll be in the front row with two right shoes on.
Do you want some news on gymnastics?
Yeah, please.
You know I do a very casual East London gymnastics where you just kind of turn up and
they
kind of
riff it. And you just chat in the corner of Simeon Mobile Disco.
Right, dear parents, hope you're well. Please, if you haven't, register your child with British Gymnastics.
Here we go.
And so it begins. Week 3 and so it begins. For membership, choose bronze. Ooh. And choose active gymnastics club. For activities, choose general gymnastics. Many thanks. Is this where it all begins?
How much is that?
Doesn't say, because I've got to go onto the website.
The difference is British gymnastics will have their own medal and grading system, but the gymnastics club have their own as well. So it's a two-pronged assault.
Oh, my word. Oh, my God.
But we've got 17 medals. Neither of them can do a roly-poly. So I don't know what the medal was for.
Okay. Shall we bring on Sam and Billy Fairs? Or shall we wait until the... Is it fun if we wait until we get a call?
What, to go on stage?
Yeah.
Okay. What else is we going to talk... if they want to come to the live shows, Nottingham and Wembley have got some tickets. The rest are sold out.
Yeah.
They're the ones.
Well, they've got singles. If you want to come on your own, I think you could go to the O2. But
I want to know how I can make Roblox pedo-proof.
Right, okay.
Roblox, the
game.
Yeah, my girls are on Roblox, and I don't understand it. Can someone email in and
tell me... Email in how to make Roblox pedo-proof.
And then I'll make it pedo-proof on their iPads or what Fire...
Have you not selected pedo-proof?
No, I just feel like apps need to go, if you press this button, your kids aren't going to get nonced.
Yeah.
And that's what I need on my devices. So if anyone knows how to make that happen, let me know.
Yeah.
And then, but, you know, because there is a danger of online gaming, but it does keep them quiet.
How are you feeling about the fact we're about to walk on stage?
I'm dangerously flatlining. No, but we've done this a long time.
Yeah.
Once we get out there, Dr. Theatre kicks in.
Yeah.
And before you know it, we're bang on the game.
Yeah, exactly. They've been really fun shows.
Right, I think we should get ready, though, because it's 1 minute past 8 now.
Yeah.
We're actually late.
All right. Well, this is Sam and Billy Fairs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sam and Billy Fairs. I really enjoyed this interview. This was a little bit loose neck for you.
So explain who Sam and Billy Fairs are for the stiffies around. Yeah. They are sisters who
well
were
done.
On Sam Fairs.
Oh, God, there's a knock. Hello. Are we ready? You can say we're ready to go, Ali, if you want. We're ready to go. Ali didn't want to talk.
All right.
They're two sisters that were famous on TOWIE, and now they have their own show, The Mummy Diaries, The Baby Diaries, It All Changed, The Family Diaries. Now,
absolutely fascinating, this. I
Billy
loved it.
Billy does it on ITVB. Sam doesn't anymore. And it's quite interesting because their kids are all over the TV and
great
social media.
Great chats about kids and TV and what to do with
You're
them.
You're panicking now we're going on, aren't you?
Bye.
Right, bye-bye. Sam and Billy Fairs, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, guys.
We're very excited to have you on. I'm a big fan of your show, actually.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
I've never known Rob buzzing for guests more than this. Look at his little smile. He's so excited.
It's a perfect, perfect guests, I think.
Well, can I say that I'm really excited as well because I'm a huge fan of the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
I've been listening to it for a very long time, so I feel like I know everything.
Oh, God,
so,
that's worrying.
I'm in the same boat as you, Rob.
But for the listeners that don't know, can you let us know your child family setup? Sam, do you want to go first?
Yes.
How many you got? Ages?
So I've got three kids. Paul is 7, Rosie is 5, and Edward is 8 months.
Oh, okay. What about you, Billy?
So I've also got three kids. So I've got Nelly, who's 8, Arthur, who's 5, and Margot, who's 7 weeks.
7 weeks? Blimey!
Fresh.
And you've just moved into a new house that's sort of finished but not finished.
Yes, as you can see, there's a few wires hanging out the wall still.
There is a wire literally in shot hanging out of the wall.
That's been there for months. Well, since she's moved in.
Does it look like it's growing out of my head?
Yeah, they look like they're getting longer, like branches.
Yeah, no, we've moved in towards the end of October and it's been a long old stint trying to get there, but we're in now. We've still got quite a lot to do, finishing off bits, but we're in.
Yeah, you're in with a 7 week old.
Yes.
Yeah.
7 weeks. Talk me through, what's the last 24 hours of your life like? What's your days like at the moment?
Well, quite long. Had a bit of a night of her last night, actually, bless her.
She, oh, really?
Do you know what she keeps doing? She wakes up at about 4:45 in the morning,
oh,
and then she's awake till yeah, 6:30, right?
And then the other two.
And then all of a sudden you've got to get up and see to the other two to get them ready for school. So this morning was really like, you know, after the weekend as well, it was like quite tiring. But yeah, it's really full on. Like, it's all a bit of a blur, to be honest.
You're still in that real newborn baby stage.
It's a bit blurry, yeah. And it's hard because, you know, not like even trying to get ready for this morning, I was panicking at one point, I'm not going to lie. I quickly messaged my manager. I was like, I'm really running late. I don't know what to do. I was stressing, but I made it.
Made it.
We'll try and make it as painless as possible. So how are you doing? Is Greg's your partner,
yes,
you see on the show?
Yeah.
Is he off work at the moment or is he still working? What's happening?
Yeah, no, he's still working.
Yeah.
So he's like back at work now into London a few days a week. But we actually, this week, we start filming for a new series of The Family Diary. Oh. So we filmed a baby special as well. But we've had a bit of time off, but it's just straight back into the swing of things.
I know that without asking what's in the show, how are like the camera people and the sound person, do they ever help out? Do you ever go, could you just hold this wipe? Could you just
you just want them to like muck
could
in.
You just pass me a nappy?
Do you know what? It's funny you say that because our film crew, this it's only two of them, they do become part of your family and you have to like obviously get on with them because they're with you all the time. And actually, sometimes I'm still getting ready, they'll like entertain or like I can hear Arthur down there with them. Like he like that. The kids actually love when the film crew are at the door. They're like,
yeah,
film crew are here. Like they're really excited. It's like two other people to torment for the day. But I was thinking actually with the baby, I was thinking like, she's going to obviously like grow up knowing these two people in our house.
Yeah.
Now, like all the time. So they do come in handy.
And how is it for Nelly? Because she's like the eldest out of all the kids between yours and Sam's. And she's like got loads of personality. And especially on the show when your other kids were a lot younger, she was always talking to the crew and being silly and funny. And it's one thing of your parents being famous, but she's almost become one of the characters, a bit like, you know, in her own right. How is that at school with the other kids and parents and things like that?
Well, do you know what? It's funny because I feel like not until this last year I've noticed that children her age know who she is, sort of thing, that she's on the TV. And like if we're out and about, people will be like, Nelly, like mums and dads will come to me, my daughter, can they get a photo with Nelly? And I always say to Nelly, do you want to get a photo? Because it's a really quite a strange thing, isn't it?
Someone wanting a selfie of your kid.
Exactly.
No, you pedo.
It is quite strange. We do say it because we don't know what it's like. I mean, she manages it pretty well. Like, I say we just keep it normal, but that's all she's known.
Yeah.
I feel like out of all the kids, Nelly's probably the one that's most confident in that kind of situation, isn't she? She's
right.
The one that can hold the conversation. She kind of really gets it.
Yeah, she does. Like sometimes, though, she does get a little bit, in certain situations, she'll do like a little bit hiding behind me. But I mean, at school, it's absolutely fine because I feel like only now kids of her age, like when they was younger, they didn't take any notice. No one really knew what the show was, yeah, or they didn't watch it. Mm. But now they're at an age, like 8-year-olds, where they might tune in and watch the show. So for us as parents, I always just think, like, obviously, you know, the show's very natural, it is what it is. But I think Nelly's quite aware now. Like, she used to have some real meltdowns on there. Like, yeah, if you watched it, you would have seen. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, we follow everything. And, like, this is our new stage now. An 8-year-old is a very new stage. Like, it's quite challenging. But I just think we manage it so that it's not too much for her, like, cameras in her face constantly. Yeah, of course.
Has she ever said, do you know who I am?
Not yet, but I feel like
you can't
coming.
Have any mini cheddars. Do you know who I am?
It's really coming.
How's it for you, Samantha, with Paul, your eldest? He's a little bit younger than Nelly. Does he enjoy the attention or is he a bit quieter?
So we actually haven't done the show for over a year now, and that was a decision between Big Paul and I that we made. And I have to be honest, like, we are totally different kind of family dynamics, and that's kind of why it worked when I think we was all like,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But Big Paul just really didn't enjoy it that much.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he'd done it for me, and I'm obviously always really grateful, but yeah, he just could not relax when the cameras were in the house.
Yeah,
I do think that kind of energy sort of played out a little bit on Little Paul as well, because he used to be quite shy and never really used to be one to run to the door when the film crew were there. You know, Rosie, my youngest, you know, she was all for it, but I struggled. And as Little Paul's getting a bit older, I was like, we've got to kind of do something about this now, because we're not really enjoying it as much as a family. So yeah, he's totally different. And I think, well, we've had that gap now, he doesn't really get it that much at all.
Yeah.
I feel like people kind of forgotten. I don't know, like, they haven't, but people always really kind and really nice, but he wouldn't get it like Nelly gets it, if you know what I mean. So
yeah, of course. So are you completely done with it now then? Is it just Billy, you're cracking on with it, but are you not involved at all, Samantha, in the Baby Diaries?
No, not at all. I mean, obviously I do like cameos and stuff with Billy and we do little scenes together, but
yeah,
I haven't done it for a long time, and I've got to be honest, I don't really miss it. Like, to put it into perspective, it's 9 months of the year, 4 days a week, yeah, and they come on your holidays.
So
yeah, it's like, quite an intense.
It's a lot.
So it's intense. And we done it for both Paul and Rosie from being pregnant with Paul. So it was almost 6 years we done it for.
Yeah, because it started just you guys, and then Billy and Greg came in, and now
and now we're off, and then they're carrying it on. But it's been amazing. Like, honestly, I don't have any regrets, but now I'm out of it, I just think, wow, I've got all this time and I can concentrate on other things. And I mean, Big Paul's a different person.
Imagine now being thrown back into it. You'd be like, whoa. To be fair, like, you do have to really fully commit as a family. Like,
you do.
Greg really enjoys the filming. Like, we laugh.
Yeah.
He's on the phone to the producers, coming up
with ideas. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Paul,
he's probably more like on the ball with it than what I am, actually.
But
it's a family commitment almost, yeah, isn't it? You do have to all enjoy it, because we've always said that as well, like Greg and I. As soon as we feel like someone's not enjoying it or it's not working anymore, then it's sort of like time to maybe do something else.
Of course.
For now, obviously, we're just getting on with it.
They're loving it.
Because you have to have storylines and stuff. And for you, having a big house move and a new baby, it's quite effortless, because there is always something going on. You're trying to get the baby to sleep. Someone's turned up to sort the boiler.
Yeah.
Where if you are a bit more, you know, you've got your youngest is 8 months and Big Paul's not really enjoying it. For you, Samantha, it's a bit forced. But if there's stuff going on and everyone's enjoying it, why not?
Exactly.
But
that's
it. There were sometimes days where, I guess what it is with Paul, it was like he done it for me and he enjoyed certain aspects of it. Let's say we was all doing big family events or we're all sort of there and it's natural. But when it was just us in the house and it was like, you know, one of the children are having a meltdown about something and they really want that because they love to see the reality. He'd just come over like all bad, you know. And then sometimes I feel like we'd finish a scene, they'd go home. I'd be like, I feel like I'm just being speaking to a brick wall. And he's like, well, I don't really know what to say in them situations. He just felt like really under pressure. And in the end, I was like, this is mean. I was like, you know, we've got to, you know, draw the line at some point. And so then,
Well, yeah, he got a lot of attention in the first one, I remember, about like him and his mum's relationship and stuff like that, which if it's your first time reality TV, if you're getting hammered by the papers, it's not going to make you feel comfortable, is it? You know?
No, and that's it. And he had quite a lot of like stick from the press in the early days, actually. It sort of got better as it went on. But you know, when someone's like thrown into the deep end, never done TV.
Yeah.
And I look back now? And he's like, you know, he's like, I really helped you out there, didn't I? I was like, oh my God. I feel really bad thinking about it back now, but anyway.
Did you ever used to sort of trade it off and go, look, we'll do another series, but that means I can go Vegas with the lads, like swapping favours?
At that point, he was going to Vegas all the time. So there we go. Every boxing fight that was on, he was out there. So
yeah, it worked in its favour.
With a film crew.
Actually, once they did, didn't they? For, was it Greg's?
The film crew went, and actually, secretly, I was quite glad. I was like, yeah,
keep an eye on them all.
Very hard. You're not getting away with that one, going Vegas without the film crew.
Yeah.
Has there been any points, though? Because I think I remember Little Paul, it was first at school, and he was sort of obviously, like any kid, a bit nervous, and it's a new thing. Is that difficult, though, as a parent? Like, it's fine if they're loving it on camera and stuff, but you feel like, oh, no, this is a big special moment for me and Big Paul with our son going to school for the first day and having someone there. Is it a bit like, oh, I wish I weren't doing it right now?
Good question. And we actually said no to cameras. We said no film crew. This is, like, actually a really big moment for us as parents. And with Little Paul, he didn't actually go to nursery or preschool. So for us, this was the first time he started in reception, like day one. For us, we was like in bits, you can imagine. And so we said, we just don't want the camera there. It's like, okay, can we just rig up the cars with GoPros? And can you try and get anything you can on your phone? I said, yeah, we can do that. That's fine. And so actually, we didn't have film crew there that day with us. So it was actually quite calm and nice. And I remember that scene and they've got the GoPros in the car and Little Paul sitting in the back. And I was just crying in the front of the car. And it was the sweetest moment because Little Paul went, Mummy, are you crying happy tears? And then I was like, oh my God, I cried even more. So it was just, and they captured it. So actually, there's little bits and moments where, you know, Billy, we laugh, don't we? Because all the kids, when they get together, they watch it on YouTube.
Oh, do they?
They do, yeah. We say it's like the best home movie ever. Like my two are always putting it on YouTube now and watching it back. They just find it hilarious.
Or ITV player, ITVX.
But yeah, no, it is funny, isn't it, when they get to watch it back. There's pros and cons, isn't there, in like everything?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Do you think in like 20 years, they'll be so pleased that they've got that kind of thing that kind of documents that?
I hope so.
Yeah, you hope so, don't you?
It'll be one way or the other, won't it?
Yeah.
Or will they be like the next generation of like...
Well, they could be the Kardashians, couldn't they? That...
Oh, no.
Because that's the thing, if you're like, you know, if you're cracking on with it, Billy, and then Nelly, she's eight now, it's only a few series till she's 13, 14 and going out or going like, you know...
This is it.
So then like, does that become her job? You know what I mean? Because it wouldn't quite naturally occur. Because if she's got a 16th birthday, that's a big storyline for the show, isn't it? Like, building to that.
Completely. Well, this is it. Like, I often wonder, like, I always speak to Nelly. Nelly's really into a horse riding. You know, like you say to your kids, like, what do you want to do? What job? Yeah. She's like, I want to be a horse riding instructor. But then she also wants to do the YouTube. Like, she wants to start filming, like, stuff with horses, you know, like, doing that. And I was like, that's actually really interesting because, actually, we're friends, our friend Chelsea, her little girl, Harlow, she does it all, like, and it's huge. Like, she's a YouTube influencer for horse riding. And, and I was thinking, like, actually, like, when she's old enough, she could do that if she wanted to.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, no, you can't do that when she's been brought up from day one around cameras and mummy being in spotlight.
And there is opportunity too, because like, oh, okay, we need a scene for the show. And you go, well, Nelly wants to go horse riding this weekend.
Yeah.
And you take her and they film it because that's part of your job. And then she goes, oh, mummy, can I film myself on the horse and put it on YouTube?
Yeah.
She's making the most of those opportunities, isn't she?
That's it.
Because it's there and it's a natural fit. But it's like, you don't really want an influencer for the influencer's sake. But if she's got a passion that is horses, that's feeding into
it. To be natural.
Yeah.
I just think all the time, every stage, it's like assessing the situation and then like taking it as it comes. Yeah. Like, even with the kids with the filming, because like you say, Nelly's getting a little bit older now. She's so aware of the cameras and
Of course.
The filming. Yeah. And it's like, how long is she going to even want to do this? She might wake up one morning and say...
If she said, I'm out. If tomorrow morning she said, I'm done. I'm out. I'm retiring. Done.
Or she negotiates a fee. I'm out. Unless.
That's true.
Because it won't be long until she does that, does she, you know?
It's so true. And I have actually had a situation before where she said to me, I'm not filming for your show, right? And I've said, don't. I'm like, please don't. Yeah. Like, you don't have to. Like, and that is the thing, because kids are clever, right? And they're crafty, and she knows, like, it's never a thing where she's forced to film, you know?
Yes, of course.
She doesn't want to do it. Don't do it. It's fine. Like,
it's definitely you and Greg. For people who have not watched it, it's more on you and Greg and how you're dealing with the kids.
Yes.
And they'll sort of float in and out. You'll be chatting and she'll turn up and go, Mummy. And, like, it's very much on her terms.
Yeah. Completely. And that's the thing. But sometimes I have had the odd, like, oh, I'm not filming for your show. I'm not doing it. I'm like, okay, don't. But what's really interesting is, if the kids aren't involved in, like, say me and Greg are filming something in the kitchen and they're just floating around after school, they want to be involved. It's like reverse psychology. Do you know what I mean? It's really mad. Like, and all of a sudden they're downstairs doing something like cute and funny, and then the film crew will capture it. And it's like, it's funny how it works, like, with the dynamics of film. It's just different all the time. Every day is different.
Yeah. Now, questions of both of you. When are they going to be allowed a phone? And Instagram, TikTok, because my 7-year-old's on me for a phone already.
So really? Is Nelly. Yeah. I've said age 10 for a phone when she goes to secondary school or year 7. I think, is that 10 or 11?
10 or 11, aren't you?
11.
Yeah.
I haven't really thought about it. What is the going age? My kids, obviously, they watch a bit of YouTube, but, like, Rosie, when she's with Nelly, they do the little bit of dancing, don't they, on TikTok? But I won't let Rosie have that. And I'm really quite conscious with the whole situation, really.
Yeah.
Like, my son Paul, for example, he's quite sensible, and I just feel like I could trust him with a phone. But Rosie's just so different.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have to literally monitor, you know, the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, is there, like, a way, when you give them the phone, is that it? They've got the full phone, or is there a way of...
I don't know.
I think they could have a phone, but I definitely wouldn't let Nelly have Instagram.
Just give him a Nokia, like Nokia 33.
There you go, Nokia.
Snake.
That'll be the best option, I think.
Well, that's the thing. So our friends, their 8-year-old, I think, for her 8th birthday, got her, like, an iPod Touch.
Yes.
Right. Oh, that's what I got Nelly.
Yeah, so that it's not a phone. You can't really message.
No.
iMessage,
but you can't make phone calls. But it's sort of like, well, actually, really, the phone call's not the bit you need to worry about, is it? It is the apps.
True.
No, it's the same as an iPad,
So can Nelly message you on iMessage then with a phone touch, whatever it is?
Well, yeah, she was, and then she bloody lost it, and you can't get hold of them anymore, can you? Because I think they're discontinued.
No, they've stopped, because I think they just want you to buy the phone, don't they? That's what they want.
Of course they do, yeah. But no, she was. She used to take it to the stables with her, but then we had this problem because there was no Wi-Fi, so she used to have to use someone's hotspot.
Oh, bless her.
She'd iMessage me, and, like, oh, I would, like, FaceTime or whatever, because she goes to the stables, like, all day. But again, it's so true that what you're saying, it's not really the phone calls that you're worried about. It is the social media side.
So it's whenever they've got older friends is the problem, basically.
Yeah.
So we went and stayed at our friends. We've got, like, she's nearly 9 now, and they were all playing Roblox, and my kids haven't played Roblox. Then they download it onto their iPad. It's sort of like Grand Theft Auto for kids. You're just, like, running around this sort of blocky world. But you can message your friends on Roblox, but I didn't know this. So they're on their iPad just thinking they're playing a game, but they're all on essentially a social media network messaging each other.
Oh my god,
I've read stuff about that Roblox, actually, so maybe just be
it's a bit dodgy.
Yeah,
you got to be on top of that.
It's like my son, it's so confusing. Like, little Paul, he's got his Nintendo Switch and he plays, like, Mario, and that's fine. But then when I draw the line at the Minecraft, he's been playing this Minecraft. I just don't get. He's building a house, and it's all very, like, fine, like, and obviously monitoring it. But I just don't get it. And he said to me yesterday, he was like, "Oh, can I play double player with his friend at home?" And I just said no, because I was like, then that's opening it up online. I just don't get it. I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
maybe I should do some more looking into it, but I just have to say no.
How is having an 8-month-old? Which we were very impressed with at the start until a 7-week-old turned up.
You didn't care about that when she said in 7 weeks.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
But actually, he's gorgeous and we all adore him. But he definitely was my toughest baby. And I don't know if it's because you kind of have your 7-year-old and your 5-year-old, you have a gap and you're thrown back into the deep end. Because did I forget, or is he harder than the others? Like, I still don't know, because... You know, and he's actually 8 months, but he's trying to walk. Now, this never happened. Yeah, honestly. So, like, for example, my other two didn't walk. So they were, like, probably over 1 or 1 and 15 months. And my mother-in-law said that Big Paul walked at 9 months. And I found that really hard to believe. I was like, really? Really? But now...
My two walked at 9 months and it's insane.
But that's it. Yeah.
They look so weird.
Well, I bet.
It's so funny.
Yes.
Yeah, I bet that was mad.
I didn't realise it was weird at the time because it was my kids.
Yeah.
But I was like walking through the shopping centre with her and people were stopping and going, what's going on?
I bet.
Because she was so diddy. They were quite small when they were little.
So and this it
was.
Is it.
And you were going, yes, it is me from 8 out of 10 cats. Thank you very much.
Oh, no. Sorry, the tiny walking child. Yeah.
So yeah, that's exactly it. And he's been crawling for a while now, and now he can stand on his own. Obviously he just falls down, but he's everywhere. He's a real danger mouse. We haven't like childproofed the house or anything yet. I actually bought a pen yesterday. Mum made me buy this pen, Billy, on Amazon.
I used to have a pen for Nelly.
Yeah, we had a little UFC pen. They just sort of barrel around in.
Because I can't sit down for a second.
Yeah.
And between Paul and I, we juggle it with like work and the baby and the kids and the school drops and stuff. But it's just like, he's so full on. And I don't know if I remember the other two being like that. And as soon as we get outside, he loves it. So he's like, I think he's going to be an outdoors boy. But it's just so cold and I don't know. At the moment, it's just, you know, we're indoors a lot. But it's tough. I'm not going to say it's been easy.
Is three hugely different to two?
I think so.
I think so too.
Yeah, I just, the first sort of like...
Such a big yes. I've never heard such a big yes.
I think so is a yes.
You run out of hands.
But that's it. We're outnumbered. And I co-slept and exclusively breastfed Edward, so Paul didn't have to do one night feed. He didn't get disturbed once for a long time. But I just would wake up in the morning and try and sort of get myself together to get the other two ready for school, Paul doing school run. But I just felt like a zombie for weeks. I felt like I wasn't ever getting out of it. But
yeah,
we're sort of getting there now. But I think it's really tough having three. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Also, you've got the middle child situation. So you've got Rosie, you've already said is
full on.
Little Paul's a bit more. Well, he's going to start being Big Paul soon, isn't he? When he gets to 8, he'll probably be bigger than Big Paul.
Yeah,
it
will be.
So it's like you've got the middle child, because I've got four brothers, there's five of us, and I'm the middle one, and you do fight for attention, because there are more of them that want attention, you know? Especially if you're co-sleeping, and then, because I don't know, like, I think the last times I watched the show, little Paul was in bed with you guys a lot. I don't know when that changed or whatever, but, you know.
Oh, no. Me and Paul haven't shared a bed for 6 years. We're still in
really?
Separate rooms.
What?
Yes.
Whoa. Talk us through the bedtime, then. Who's where?
Right, so I'm in the spare room with Edward.
Right, in a double bed.
Yeah, but who I've recently got into the cot, but he's still in the room with just me.
Yeah.
And then Big Paul's in our big bed with Rosie and Paul. Before Edward would come along, it was just like two and two, like one adult, one child. And we've never kind of gotten out of it. And we always moan about it because Paul's like always hanging off the end. They're all stuck to each other in the night. But we've never done anything about it. So it's our own fault, really. And it's just like...
But then you had the baby, so it carried on. So is that the plan?
So he's in bed with two kids each night?
Every night. Yeah,
oh, my God, that must be tough.
So, Sam, how have you managed to have three children if you're that far apart?
Well, that's it. You have to be, inventive, I guess. I don't know.
Inventive.
Go to the kitchen. Fair enough.
Yeah, that's it. But, no, it kind of works, but it is getting a bit much now.
They're getting older and bigger now as well, because
That's it. It's,
So have you got a plan, an extraction plan, essentially? Because I feel like if Edward's in a cot already, you could almost let him have that room and you slide out. And it's just really about getting Rosie and little Paul into their rooms.
So that is the plan. We're like, actually, we've done quite well with Edward. We've never done this with the other two as early on. So we was like, actually, if we keep in this routine, in his cot, all we need to do now is get the other two out. They sleep well together. Maybe what the plan should be is put them two in a room together. But you know what? I think about it, and I'm not sure. Like, because obviously I love Paul, and I'm actually quite an affectionate person, but he's a bit of a night owl, so I go to bed earlier. And when he does come in, it's like, I don't know, football highlights or something. It's a big, bright, and I don't like sleeping the telly on.
Oh, so he watches the telly in bed?
Yes, and I'm more
and
like...
And the kids don't care?
No, sorry, he doesn't watch it with the kids. If it was me and him, he watches it downstairs.
Oh, I see.
But if it was me and him in bed, he would just like, you know, put the telly on and he'll sleep. I don't know, I'm just so used to sleeping with like a...
He'll fall asleep with the telly on?
Yes.
and leave it on all night.
But you do that, Rob.
No. I've got a telly in the room. We don't really use it, but we'll watch a show.
Oh, no, you do it on the sofa.
Yeah, I'll fall asleep on the sofa with the telly.
So that's what Paul does. So he does that now, because obviously he doesn't do it with the kids in the bed. But right. If it was me and him, he'd put the telly on and then leave it on and fall asleep. And I just... Oh, I don't know. I'm so used to sleeping with, like, a nice little child that... I don't know. I'm just used to it.
You big smelly bloke watching the football.
Yeah.
What is your sleeping situation, Billy? Is it exactly the same?
So it was for many years. We do tend to have musical beds sometimes in our house now. And actually, Nelly was the child that never slept until she was about four, literally until she went to school. Wow. Yeah, so I had, four long years of that. But so now...
And what do you mean by, like, how bad a sleeper was she?
Oh, she was... she was bad. This is how bad it was.
You weren't even there.
Yeah, I was there a lot.
That's why she's moved to Surrey.
Yeah. Get away. So, you know, like on... You know, like a stair gate? So I even had a stair gate put on Nelly's bedroom, right? She would get, you know, like the sleeping grow bags that babies sleep in. So they can sleep in them till they're like two, can't they? And they're like these big giant. Anyway, Nelly used to have one of them. She used to wear one of them to bed. She used to get over her cot in the grow bag. She used to worm out the door and then get out of the sleeping bag. She used to get over the stair gate and then come into our room. Like, we tried to, like, and she'd still get...
Like Jurassic Park, you can't contain them. They will escape.
It literally, she was relentless. But then finally, when she went to school, she got really tired and she started sleeping a lot better. But in our house at the moment, so I've done a bit of a Samantha, actually. I said it to you the other day, I'm turning into you. I've actually gone into our spare room with Margot because she's sleeping in the bed with me and Greg doesn't do any of the night. He hasn't done any. So I've been like...
Ever?
When the other two were younger, when they were babies, he used to help out. But for some reason...
Is Margot breastfed or is she on a bottle?
No, she's bottle fed. So he could...
So he's got no excuse?
No, exactly. He has no excuse. And I don't know why.
Zero excuse. Paul's got an excuse.
Exactly. But it's really funny because Greg was trying to be very encouraging that I just exclusively breastfeed with Margot. And I was thinking, I know your game. Yeah. You don't want to do it. But actually... Like, he's done, like, one of the later ones, like the 11 o'clock feed, but he hasn't done the middle of the night. I don't know why, I've just sort of got on with it. I've gone in the spare room with Margot. But
I think you should bring it up on your next episode.
Yeah, I do.
I'm going to give Greg some credit because I was with Billy the other day and Billy was like, you know, I just want her to myself at this stage. I don't even want Greg to feed her. It's just me and her in the room.
So here we go.
Even if Greg asked, you saying how much you're enjoying, you know.
Yeah, no, that is true. But you know what? I do think I'm going to start trying to get her in a little, you know, like the next to me cots. I'm going to start encouraging that because...
Good luck.
I mean, it's lovely having them in the bed. You really don't sleep. I don't think I go into a full deep sleep.
No.
Because I know she's in the bed with me. So I'm like...
Yeah.
And like sometimes I do that thing in the night where I go, yeah, you're right. Like, you know, like...
Yeah, that's horrible.
It's awful.
I do that quite a lot. So there is a plan. There is a plan in place.
And so where are the other two kids? Are they with Greg or are they in their own beds?
No, they do sleep in their own beds. Yeah. Arthur sometimes he wakes up and he'll like sneak into the bed with Greg, but he might do that at like 5 a.m. and then go back to sleep.
Yeah,
it's actually not too bad with the other two, but it took a long time to get there.
How are they moving to a new place? Were they excited or were they like sad to go?
No, they was really excited actually. My mum actually lives in our old house, so
okay,
it's so lovely because we go back there and like obviously they still go there and it's like now we're going to Nanny Susie's. But yeah, they settled in pretty well, to be honest, and actually they sleep better in this house than what they did in our old house, which is quite bizarre. Maybe they just settled, I don't know.
So when did you actually move in and how pregnant were you or did you have a newborn?
So we moved in mid-October, so I was 7.5 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And do you know what? The move was really tough. It was really hard, actually, like being heavily pregnant. I was exhausted. Like, I've never really done a big house move, so I never knew what people meant when they said, like, how exhausted it is. I mean, Manf, you've done quite a lot.
Six, I think.
Yeah.
Six?
Yeah.
I promise you I've done six. And we moved, similar to Billy, we moved into this house when I was 8 months pregnant.
Right.
So when I actually had Edward, I had a home birth, we was all in the kitchen, wasn't we? I still got boxes that like were unopened whilst giving birth in the kitchen. It was just chaos. Oh. But you just do it. I don't know, you have to, don't you? You just get through it and then you
got
just,
no choice.
No choice.
As long as you get one bed sorted.
That's it.
And then you get to sleep.
That's it.
I was just happy to be in. My goal was that I've got to be in before the baby comes.
Yeah.
Because like now, well, you're exhausted for a long time.
You've done really well though. I think that room you're in is probably the one that's not finished. But everywhere else looks lovely. You've done so well.
Yeah, it's getting
that's
there.
Always good. Have the camera on in the one room that doesn't look like it's done. That's the best decision. Yeah. Let's talk about your podcast, because you've got a podcast, The Sam and Billy Show.
Yeah.
So is this where you do it from?
All the time.
What's the kind of family situation with doing the podcast?
So we try and do it once a week, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, we do it once a week, rather. But it's when it's like kids' holidays and stuff, like you're saying, there's always someone peeping in. Or, you know, when I had Edward in the early days, there was a couple of times where we had to cut. Let's say Paul wasn't around and I didn't have... It's quite hard not having family when you live...
Yeah.
A bit further out, because you know you can't just call someone quickly to come and help.
Yeah.
And you have to time holidays, because that's what me and Josh get in trouble with sometimes. If he's away and I'm not, or vice versa, one of you's on the beach, you're like, can you still do Tuesday at 10 o'clock? And you're like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah, we've done that.
We've done that, haven't we? Yeah, well, we've recorded when we've been away.
That was funny, actually. We recorded when you was on holiday and I was at home, and that guy was telling you to be quiet. Oh, do you remember?
Yeah.
But he was like, I'm recording a podcast. You be quiet.
He walked in the area of the hotel, like there was like so many areas he could have sat, and he sat at the one place I was sat, and then he was going, shh, keep it down. And I was like,
oh, what, in the lobby?
I'd gone and sat in like a corner of the lobby, you know, like really far, and it was like round the corner, really far away from anyone. He's decided to put up next to me and then started like, telling me to be quiet. How rude.
Was it Greg?
Do you have the same thing that me and Rob do, that you feel like you can't update the other one on your life because you're not on mic, because you're like, I've got to save this for the podcast?
Oh, yeah.
It's so true. And we find things like this quite hard, because obviously where we're sisters as well, we speak every day, whether it's about the kids or, you know, what's coming up and stuff. So we do try. Like something happened to you at the weekend when you were shopping. And I went, don't tell me, save it for the podcast, didn't I? Because we do, we speak so much and we want to keep it natural, but it does happen. It was like with mum stepped in for Billy, actually, when she was on maternity leave. And mum would ring me right before we started recording and just like talk to me about all this stuff. I say, mum, I'm going to speak to you in a minute on the podcast. Just save it. I'm sorry, darling.
And how's it been, though? Because you've moved from Essex. Does your mum still live in Essex? Near Billy and the Billy's old house.
Yeah, she's really near me.
So she's really close for you, Billy. So, Sam, she's about an hour and a half away now, is she? 2 hours or...?
It varies.
Oh, so if there's no traffic on the M25, it's 1 hour.
Yeah, if there's no traffic on the M25. If you go at 2 a.m...
That's a good day, yeah.
It is so bad, honestly. And then I get it.
And the bridge. Yeah.
No, but mum's now got this fear of the bridge, and it's like, come on. So she has to go the other way around.
Oh, God.
She doesn't...
She's scared of the bridge.
Because she's scared of the bridge, right? So it's fine. Like, maybe it's because she's in her change. Like, me and Billy understand.
I didn't know the menopause made you scared of fucking bridges.
Afraid of bridges, that's one of the main symptoms.
So, I mean, it's always like, especially when I had the baby, she was like, you know, if you was closer, I'm like, yeah, well, I'm not, am I? It's been like 4 years now, whatever it is. No, but it's fine. No traffic is an hour. Traffic can be 3 hours.
What's she like with tunnels? Because she could go back that way because it's just a tunnel across.
She does.
Isn't it?
Yeah, she does go back through the tunnel, I think.
She goes back through the tunnel.
Yeah, she goes back through the tunnel but won't do the bridge.
Oh, and she won't drive at night. So she stayed actually the other day. She was like, I'm leaving at 3:30. I went, Mum, I don't think it actually gets dark till, I don't know, 1 hour. She was out the door at 3:30 because she was petrified that it was going to be dark.
It's funny because when she dropped Arthur back, she said to me, I got off the motorway just in time before it got dark.
Oh, she's such like, come on.
So does it get competitive, though, between you two and babysitting? Because obviously it's so much easier for your mum to pop round and have the kids for the afternoon, where for you, so obviously, Billy, you'll probably be getting more help with the kids, but And then because you've moved though, Sam, but do you ever negotiate with your mum and go, well, you have been around Billy's three times this week?
There was a bit of a situation actually this weekend. It was funny because I went to mum, oh, mum, I've got a date for you. I was going to ask you if you'd look after the kids. It's your friend's birthday. We're going for dinner. She went, well, you have to let me know because, you know, I've got quite a few dates booked in with Samantha now. And I thought, oh, yeah, Samantha's got in there, hasn't she? Give her all her dates.
Because now I've got Edward into the cot, I'm like, I can actually go out past 7 o'clock yeah. and be home before one when he yeah. wakes up. We can go on date nights, we can do things. Anyway, so this Friday is the date day because we're going out in the daytime. But yeah, this was the one that mum was like, sorry, Billy. But it is obviously always Billy because she's so close.
Yeah.
With me, it's a journey. She doesn't like travelling on the motorway. All that comes with it.
Doesn't like at night. Tunnels okay, not bridges. Sure.
Yeah, so Billy does get mum a lot more than me. So
well, yeah. I went to Australia for a month and I took my mum and dad out because they've got family out there as like a Christmas present kind of thing. Because I was away and then Lou was on her own. I was like, well, you know, my mum and dad can babysit. She went, no, they can't. You're taking them.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no. Fuck.
Oh, no.
I'm taking the help.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, dude. Do you want to do the final question,
yeah.
Josh?
I think with the final question, it's quite complicated doing the final question to two people, isn't it, Rob? Well, the final question always is the same. And Rob's going to do it.
Okay. So this is to you, Sam and Billy, for Greg and Big Paul. What is the one thing they do parenting-wise where you're like, that is so annoying, I hate it when you do that.
Refuse to have cameras, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You just does your head in the way they parent. And then what's the one thing they do where you go, oh, they're amazing, I'm so happy this is the person I had kids with.
Okay. Where do we begin?
Start with the positive, because we're really interested in the negative. That's the one we're here for.
That's the best bit, yeah, the negative.
Okay, so I guess... Go on, you go.
No, go on.
You're struggling for positives.
Right, okay, so I think my positive is that Paul is actually really hands-on. So, like, he just is great with the kids. He does the school run every single morning, which for me is, like, you know, a blessing. I love that. I guess that's my real positive.
He does a school run every morning.
He does a school run.
Sorry. No.
That's it. He could be replaced by an Addison Lee tomorrow.
He's just like... No, he's just like, as well, he's like really...
Involved.
Involved, yes. Yeah. And we juggle life together and he's great. Like, he spends a lot of time with the kids and we've never kind of brought in extra help purely because Paul obviously wants to be around as much as he can. Yeah. So, yeah, that's probably mine.
Can I have a quick question about the names, though? Because obviously you've got Little Paul, named after Big Paul, but then you've got Edward.
Edward is Big Paul's middle name.
Right, okay. Well done. Technicality.
God,
of course.
Tell you what, Big Paul thinks a lot of his own names, doesn't he? He absolutely loves his own names.
But I was going to say, though, because that's the thing, like, because if he's gone Paul, as Edward, you're going, hang on, how comes he? I know he was first. Was Paul the second ever an option?
Yeah.
So Paul the third. So you got Paul, and then Paul the second, or Paul the third.
Big Paul and Little Paul were saying, let's just call him Paul to keep it easy. I was like, keep it easy.
So what do you have to say Big Paul and Little Paul every time in the house? Or is there a shorthand?
Well, it depends what you're asking, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Wipe my bum. Who's that? Big Paul, Little Paul.
Actually, it's funny you say that because Big Paul said to me yesterday about the wiping the bum thing. We was like, when does it stop? And we discussed that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I pamper my kids too much. Anyway, that's going off subject.
Are you still wiping bums of the eldest?
Yes. Is that not right?
No, I'm not
when
wiping Nelly's bum.
When does it stop?
Remember when Greg had to wipe Paul's bum, little Paul's bum?
But am I pampering him too much? Like, I don't know. When does it stop?
Well, so my five-year-old, she's just started school, in September, and I was still wiping her bum, but more recently this term, it's stopped now. By about 4 or 5 when they start school, I think, because they have to do it themselves at school.
Right, I've got to stop it then.
Of course they do. I hadn't even thought about it at school. What do they do?
No, but he doesn't poo at school, because I ask him that, and he waits till he gets home.
So you can wipe his bum.
I've got to stop that. I'm like, oh, gosh.
Are you still wiping your eldest bum, Josh?
I am, yeah. I hadn't even thought about it till now.
Yeah, it's because we're all in the habit. That's the problem. But I'm trying to wean my 5-year-old
off.
To be
honest, Rob, it's one of my favourite bits of parenting.
Is it? Okay.
Obviously.
It's just nice to do a job properly, isn't it? And you know you've done it well.
You realise it's much easier from that angle.
It is.
So, Paul, we've done his positive. What's the negative with Paul?
I'd forgotten that we were on the final question there. We've really gone back into the interview.
I know. I don't know if this counts, but, like, he's... he's super into sports and all sports, actually, mainly football. It kind of consumes the house. And I've got to be honest, like, every telly, and it actually made me laugh this morning. I could see the little yellow box of the transfer window thing in. I was like, oh God, I've got 8 days of this, however long it is till it's on. But it consumes the house, and I can't watch anything. The kids can't watch anything. It's just, you know, yesterday he was at the football, so it's fine.
Who's
so, you know, Arsenal. So he's really happy.
Yeah, they're doing well at the moment as well, yeah.
It's very consuming. And then if his phone is landscape, I know that he's on that football manager game. I don't know what actually it's called.
Oh, football manager on the phone, yeah.
That's
that
it.
Game takes over your life.
Yeah.
Right. So the sports side of things can be very consuming. And I have to kind of like sometimes say, no, come on, let's stop there. He got home last night from the game, sort of walked in, and it made me jump because I was asleep. And then he was like buzzing because obviously Arsenal had won and he was just excited. And he went, well, I'm going to go downstairs and put the football highlights on. But it was really late. I'm just like, when does it stop?
You've just seen it live.
Super fan.
Anyway, that's
my... Yeah, I think it's only going to get worse if Arsenal were good because he wants to watch them being good. Okay.
The good news is it probably won't last.
What about you, Billy? What's the negative of Greg and the positive in whatever order you want?
Okay, so negative, I'm going to say Greg is a nightmare on his phone. Like, he's constantly, like, talking on the phone.
Oh, like, actually talking, not playing games, just always speaking.
No, yeah, like, on the phone, like, talking on the phone.
Have you thought about getting him an iPod Touch?
That's a really good idea.
For the weekend.
And sometimes it's at the point where if I'm in the same house as him, I'll call him. I'm like, oh, I can actually have a conversation with you now because you picked your phone up, you're listening to me. And then he's like a pacer on the phone. So obviously, like now, because we've got Margot and he done this with all three of them, he will just walk around, like the baby will be like up here, like her little head's like all bubbling around and he's on the phone in that hand, the baby's here and he's just talking on the phone like constantly, like, and then like Margot's just there, like her little head's like bubbling around everywhere and he's like pacing, like doing circles in the kitchen. That is something that really aggravates me.
Yeah.
Have you given Greg one of your radiation stickers that I made you
yes,
buy?
Yes, I've put one on his phone.
Good.
Is it work calls or is he just chatting to mates?
Well, it could be anything. It could be work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be anything. He just
loves it.
He just loves it. And he loves to, you know, like sometimes, even like on a Sunday morning, you wouldn't always necessarily bring your best mate up for a chat.
No.
But he's on the phone.
It'd be
weird. Yeah.
No, he wants to know like what his friend's done last night, where they've been.
It's quite old school.
If my friend phoned me to ask me what I'd done last night, I would find that weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And how do you have the energy?
Well, we don't even speak on the phone like
that. Voice notes.
We send each other voice notes and then reply when you get a chance to reply.
Oh, yeah. Greg loves a phone call. And like sometimes, you know, you think like a text would settle that.
Yeah. And is he holding the phone or has he got AirPods in?
Holding the phone.
Holding it.
Yes. Yeah.
So old school, isn't it? It must hurt his head.
Do you know what? I'm with him on a text would settle that. I'll text the person, you're like, but you go, if I ring them, I know straight away that they've got it.
Yeah.
You could text someone, it could take an hour. True.
Yeah, I prefer ringing, but I'm not on the phone that much. But if I am, I've got my headphones in, chatting, and I can do stuff. I'm unloading the dishwasher. Sometimes I'm having like radio interviews and I'm unloading the dishwasher and they can hear something. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing two things here.
Multitasking.
I'm talking to you, I'm busy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realise it's like a subconscious power play, isn't it? To like unload the dishwasher while talking to someone.
Have
like
that Radio Oxford, I'm unloading the dishwasher.
And then what about the positive for Greg?
It's really funny. You know, Samantha said about the school run with Cole. That's my...
We're so grateful.
I'm really grateful. Greg does the morning drop off as well, which is like really helpful. But other than the school drop off, Greg's very like, he could be like a really fun dad, like, and get up and go, like, nothing, you know, like, as a mum, like, you sort of fuss a bit more before you leave the house, like, you're getting this ready, getting that. Greg will just be like, come on, let's go. And he'll just, he's confident to take the kids out for the day and do stuff with them. And I mean, obviously, now with Margot, it's different. But with Nelly and Arthur, he'll like take them to like the caravan for the weekend, you know, like, with his sister. He's quite get up and go with them.
And he'll lead it. He won't be like waiting for you to pack a bag and go, right, off we go, kids, and just take them out. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, he's quite good like that. And it wouldn't bother him if he had like a few kids, you know, if we had a play date and I wasn't around to help, like, he'd just still do the play date, it wouldn't bother him.
He's on the phone, don't give a shit.
He's just on the phone. Do what you want,
Having some snacks, he's pacing up and down.
Yeah. Getting through his 9,000 minutes a month.
But that's you're right, exactly what you said. Yeah, just be on the phone and let them do what they want.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, this has been absolutely amazing. Thanks so much for doing it.
I loved it. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And your podcast, where can we download that? Anywhere?
The Sam and Billy Show.
So, yeah, anywhere, and on YouTube, but anywhere you get your podcast. Yeah.
Brilliant. And when's the Mummy Diaries back? What are they called now? Because is it changed again?
It's changed to the Family Diaries now, because it was Mummy Diaries when it was me and Mam. Now it's then changed it to the Family Diaries. So that starts Sunday the 5th of Feb is the baby special at 7:30 on ITVB. And then we're back again in the new year every Wednesday at 9.
Yeah, and I want a light on that wire that you've got hanging.
Yes.
Or just shorten the wire. Brilliant. Thanks so much.
Thanks
really
so much, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers, guys. Bye-bye. Billy and Sam Fares. I enjoyed that, Josh.
I really enjoyed that. I thought absolutely fascinating.
Felt like a taste from my world.
Taste of your world, yeah.
I imagine you felt like I felt when we interviewed Philippa Perry.
Exactly.
Who is this and why are we talking to them?
At least with Philippa Perry, you weren't worried about mixing their names up for 90 minutes.
Yeah, fair enough.
90 minutes. It was 50 minutes. We haven't edited it down from 90 minutes.
90.
Where did that come from? Because there was so much football chat.
I really enjoyed that. Yeah. I think sometimes the sort of reality stars from TOWIE and all that, or wherever it is, they get a little bit of a bad rep because of the way they're edited on shows. Mm. And essentially, they're working class people that have found an outlet, and they just sort of get sometimes a bit of a harsh, what is their actual sort of, you know, thing they do. But I think they're both two quite switched on people that really love their kids. And I find it quite refreshing to have that insight into their life. And they're quite level headed about the potential pressures on their kids from the TV show, but like Sam's done, she's gone, actually, it's not working for us, we're going to stop now.
Yeah,
because it's easy to judge when you're not there, but if everyone's happy and enjoying it, and you know, like she was saying, Nelly loves the camera and so does Greg, then why not, you know, do it if you're enjoying it and got these amazing things.
But Rob, Rob,
what?
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. I need this.
Need what?
Don't stop. Don't make this Josh Whittaker's parody.
Oh, what? I feel like I'm letting too much into the family.
I need this.
You do actually, yeah, because you've got a lot going on at the moment.
Don't
so
stop,
if I did
Rob.
Stop. That's why. Is that why
don't
you keep
stop.
Asking about the
do
cost of hotels
stop.
For the tour? Are you skinned? Have you got some sort
don't
of secret
stop,
vice?
Yeah.
He keeps buying old Blur guitars.
It's old football sticker albums. I've gone too deep.
Just spent £900 on an Argyle away shirt.
Right. We'll be back on Tuesday if Rob's still with us.
Do you know what would be quite a funny like sitcom would be like two super famous rich people that are obsessed with something like Plymouth shirts, and they keep bidding for them on eBay, but they're going for an exorbitant amount of money because they're both like
they're bidding against each other
and they hate each other. Oh, that'd be great. But no, I'm not going to stop doing this, Josh. I enjoy it. And
I do too.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Mummy Diary, or the Family Diaries now.
We'll be back on Tuesday.
Bye.
We'll see you then. Goodbye.